I'm Jez Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is Into the Calderon founder and sports journalist working with As English and ESPN FC, Robbie Dunn. Robbie Dunn is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. I-Liga. That's right, we're declaring it after watching Antoine Griezmann put Leganés to the sword on Wednesday. Four goals from the Frenchman to guide Atletico to a 4-0 win over their intra-city opponents. We'll choose our very favorite Griezmann goal from Wednesday. Remember, there's four to choose from. Discuss the impact that Diego Costa has had on the number seven returning to form. Atletico notching a sixth consecutive league win to pull to within 5 points of Barcelona. And we'll preview that contest at Camp Nou on Sunday. It's first versus second. Barcelona on 66 points following their draw against Las Palmas on Thursday. Atletico on 61. We're also going to talk about Atleti's transfer dealings from the month of February. Nothing shady going on there. Everything's above board. And we'll take Colt Gennaro Chat Amigo questions. If you want to become a Colt Gennaro Chat Amigo and get priority for your questions, make sure to head over to patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. In addition to supporting the show on Patreon, you can also leave a rating and a review on iTunes. It helps get more eyes and ears on the program when people search for Colt Gennaro Chat or related terms such as Atletico Madrid, La Liga, Spanish football, Spanish soccer, and so on. Colt Gennaro Chat will shoot toward the top of the queue, so please leave a rating and a review. We'll be back with Robbie Dunn after this. So, Robbie, you're back on the pod, and yeah, last time I had you on, it was a bit of a sour mood. It was the first of the infamous Carabaj games.
But, it seems like a lifetime ago now, especially given the form Atletico are in. But it seems ages ago, and Atletico have really turned a corner here. It seems like two different seasons almost.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's just amazing what Costa has brought to the team and Griezmann's form now. It's great stuff, and we'll get to all that in detail. But before we get into all that, let's run through the results, the whip around. 26 weeks down, we're 2/3 of the way through the season, which makes me sad. We're into March now. It's almost over. On pretty momentous week though, some really interesting results on Tuesday. Espanyol beating Real Madrid 1-0 from a Gerard Moreno goal in the 93rd minute. Real Madrid, all eyes are on PSG at this point, and surely with the news about Neymar's injury, they're favorites to progress to the last eight, you'd say.
Yeah, I'd say so. But see, this is the problem with Real Madrid. It's such inconsistent season from them, and I think... this is just me guessing here. It's not based on any information that I read or anything like that. But I feel like they are starting to get a little bit annoyed now. Like they were rolling with the punches for a long time, but I think that Espanyol game really, really annoyed them. And then I heard I saw in the Spanish media here, they were saying that Isco was upset and Ramos had a go at a couple of players in the dressing room after the game, saying he actually said something to Isco apparently that about him walking off when he was taken off and telling him he needs to get a move on, and kind of like Carrasco did that time for Atletico. Things like that. I think they are starting to maybe not point fingers per se, but I think it's really starting to grate on them, the fact that they can't get to the bottom of why this is, why they can't get a decent run going. And also I think that all is not really well in the camp at the moment.
Yeah, there's just so much going wrong there this season. It's really kind of remarkable how things just have kind of fallen apart in such a short period of time for them. It's a weird one, because there's not just one thing that's going on there. We've talked about it before. Uh-huh. It's a multitude of things that just are not right there.
Yeah, and then just based on our expectations at the start of the season, we had them dominating Europe and La Liga for the next five, 8 years.
Yeah, now
after they beat Barcelona and Manchester United in the Super Cups, we had them dominating Europe for the next 5 years, and given their transfer movement as well, like everyone was like, this is, it was almost like a, why you even play the season, because Real Madrid are going to win everything. But I think that's also what makes it such a stark contrast to, from based on our expectations to what has actually transpired. I think that's actually makes it worse then on top of that.
Yeah, I was one of those people that figured they were just going to dominate everything, but you never know.
I haven't said anything, and I'm going to dig up the tweet, but we had over at Ask English, we had a predictions thing, and I couldn't pick. I didn't know Real Madrid weren't going to win the league. I felt like they weren't going to, because it takes a specific effort to win the league, and I felt like they made a huge push for it last year, and I felt like they were going to go back and try and win Europe again this year. So, and I couldn't pick Barcelona because they had just been humiliated in the Super Cup. So I picked Atletico to win the league at the start of the year, and after, I think it was like 2 match days, some guy tweeted me. He was like, "Oh, bullshit prediction." He said, "What do you think now?" And I just had to bite my tongue. I was like, yeah, you're right. It was, Atletico drawn with Corona and things like that. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that was dreadful. Let's just bury that and forget about it. But if Atletico go and win now, that could be one of the predictions of the year.
Oh, yes, it could. You got to dig that. You got to dig that up from August or whatever it was, man. We got to bring that back.
Because everyone else picked Real Madrid. And the other thing was, I wanted to be a little bit rebellious. I wanted to, not rebellious, but when you read it and it's like everyone says Real Madrid, I was like, I just picked someone different, because at the end of the day, they're just stupid predictions and no one knows what is going to happen in reality. So yeah, let's just see how it goes. I'm going to tweet that guy back that said, after like 2 games, he was like, oh, what do you think now? And I was like, okay, let's just calm down for a second. We'll see. Atletico looking good, though.
Yeah, they are. Also on Tuesday, Girona beat Celta Vigo by 1-0. Girona now just 4 points back of Villarreal for the final, or actually 1 point back of Eibar for the final Europa League spot, as that looks like seventh place is going to be a Europa League place. On Wednesday, Getafe 3-0 over Depor. They're in a world of hurt, Robbie. Clarence Seedorf has not really changed their fortunes much. They look like they're going down. It's bad.
One of the guys you work with is a Depor fan, and he was kind of cheering on Barcelona tonight, and he, obviously the office and there's a lot of Madridistas in there, so he was kind of on his own. But I said, listen, even if Barcelona win this, it doesn't matter, Depor are gone anyway, because I thought they actually played well against, well, I didn't think it, they did play well against Espanyol. They were really, really, really good on Friday night and dominated them, but just couldn't score. And then Espanyol were dreadful, and then they went out and beat Real Madrid. So, yeah, Depor, I think Seedorf, lack of goals, lack of... it's kind of their squad is a little bit mismatched and kind of a few different like awkward square trying to fit like round square pegs into round holes,
right,
and,
right,
and things like that. And I just think that it's slightly awkward, some of their squad and things like that.
Malaga 0, Sevilla 1. I mean, we all know Malaga are going down, but a decent rebound for Sevilla after Atletico pasted them last weekend. Athletic, yeah, and Valencia playing out a 1-1 draw. Valencia missing a big opportunity to jump back into third place. Snaps their 3-game winning run. We'll talk about Atletico in a minute. Eibar with a 1-0 win over Villarreal. Look at Eibar go. Into 7th now. As it stands, they're going to the Europa League next year. And still a lot of football to play, but it's amazing what they're accomplishing.
Yeah, that would be, and it would be absolutely wonderful, like just to see them in Europe, because they play attacking and interesting football as well, and don't have like any kind of an inferiority complex, or it's not ugly football, and have not only after their highly improbable promotion to La Liga, didn't just kind of settle for scraping by every year. They've actually gone and, just based on how well the club is run, I think as well, they've gone and really, really pushed themselves up the table. And I think them in Europe would be an absolutely fabulous story to tell. Maybe Ewan McTeer might write a sequel to his book.
I was going to say, he'd have to update the book.
Exactly, yeah, the second edition.
Yeah.
The Europe edition.
On Thursday, Real Betis playing out their first goalless draw of the season. 0-0 with Real Sociedad. Who saw that result coming with those two teams especially?
Exactly, yeah. And I was just thinking, like, Atletico Madrid, Sevilla, who you'd have that maybe as a 1-0, 1-all, nil-all maybe, given how Montoya has kind of helped and Sevilla to kind of consolidate at the back, and how Atletico tend to play in big games, and it was 5-2, and then the likes of Real Sociedad and Real Betis, goal, no defence, goals flying in from all angles, and it's nil all, like, you know, it was definitely a strange one.
Speaking of strange ones, Las Palmas 1, Barcelona 1. Did not see this result coming either. Jonathan Cayeri scoring a penalty for Las Palmas, first penalty Barca have had called against them in 2 years. As things tightening up at the top, we'll talk about that. And 10-man Alaves beating 10-man Levante by a 0-0. I don't think Levante are ever going to win again. I mean, they've won once in the last 21 weeks. I don't know how they're not in the relegation zone. They will eventually, just, though.
They're dropping down there now. I think Las Palmas are in the ascendancy, and Paco Gemes has definitely emboldened the team and. They play interesting football, and they're still liable, as any Paco Gemes team is liable to lose a game 3-4-0, but he's definitely helped them, and that was his first ever point against Las Palmas, or against Barcelona.
Yeah, it was.
And I think he was even chuffed, and he tends to be the kind of guy who kind of plays it cool and everything, but I think even he was absolutely delighted with it, and I think Levante will drop down into it. And it's so crazy because Levante ran away with the Segunda division last year, like ran away with it. They had sealed promotion, automatic promotion, a couple of months before the end, and Getafe snuck in and they won the final against Tenerife and just as underdogs, and the same with Girona, who were struggling at the start of the year. And look, those two teams are flying, and then Levante, who ran away with Segunda last year, absolutely struggling and look like they're on the way down. Like, you know, that kind of momentum that people speak about, they just lost it. And that game tonight against you consider Alaves relegation fodder, I suppose, too, or relegation threatened, and to lose in the way that they did, the last minute men sent off, it looked like they'd held on for a point. I just think everything is going against them, and it looks like they're going to go straight back down to the Segunda.
Yeah, and that'd be tough, especially since they started the season so positively, had that draw against Real Madrid a few weeks back. They've lost all four since that game, though.
Yeah.
So it's not looking good for them, but it's looking really good for Atletico right now, Robbie. Sixth consecutive win. They beat Leganés 4-0 on Wednesday. And one man did all the damage. Antoine Griezmann. As you wrote about this morning, he has been redeemed, Robbie.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. He's been unbelievable. But, I mean, I think actually he's even better than when he was before. And I think that's down to the fact that he has someone who he compliments now at the moment, or compliments him, in that, as I said in that article, it was I don't think he's comfortable, and he doesn't like being the star, and he doesn't, not that he's not able for it, but he's not comfortable being the star and with all the pressure on him. And I think with Costa now, he draws all the attention from defenders, referees, opposing players, from the fans, opposing fans, and Griezmann is just able to do his thing, and it's almost like Diego Costa has arrived as Griezmann's bodyguard, and he's just freeing things up for him there, and he's back to his best, and probably after going a step beyond that again.
Yeah, I think this is... Would you say this is probably the best form Griezmann's ever been in?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was just kind of looking through his goals and stuff. He only scored one hat-trick in La Liga, and he scored two and a four in
the last four days. It's amazing. Yeah, and that one hat trick was in his first season.
Important goals as well, and I remember referring to him as a microwave scorer before. Like he heats up really quickly, and then he can cool off just as quick. But it seems to be a little bit more elongated now, and he's more dangerous in general play. I think this is probably the best form that I've ever seen him in. Yeah.
Yeah, 4 goals on Wednesday, and they were all really well taken. I wrote about this back in December as well with Costa when it was after the Espanyol loss when Costa would have been registered the next game. I didn't think Costa would solve all the problems in this attack, but right now it's working, and Atletico are scoring all these goals. They've scored 34 goals in the last 15 games. They'd scored 34 goals all season before Costa had arrived. It's worked for a couple reasons. Number one, as you've said, Costa has opened up all this space. His role has changed from the last time he was at Atletico. He's kind of just the battering ram now. He's taking in all the attention while Griezmann gets to operate in the shadows. And second, I think Koke, he's made Koke better too.
Yeah.
Koke has moved into a kind of a freer role, drifting around midfield, kind of like he was the second half of last season when Carrasco was still in the team and they played a 4-3-3.
And Koke was really struggling there for a while. I was actually kind of worried about him, but he's that pass for Griezmann's
absurd.
For the opening goal was absolutely excellent.
Absurd.
And yeah, like I mean, he's a proper leader in that team, and he probably does at times lack that little bit of creativity. It has to kind of it's not like moments of magic where, like some say, like some Messi out of nothing. It kind of has to fall in Koke's lap in order for him to create, if that makes sense. But
yeah,
but he's kind of starting to see things a little bit developing in front of him better now, and I think that's all because of the movement ahead of him and Costa, and it's the same with a striker, the confidence that comes with these wins and knowing that you're in with a shout and you're contending, and also the fact that with the likes of Thomas Partey and that playing a much bigger role lately and this season, Simeone's been a little bit bolder with Costa and things like that, and I think that's probably one of the criticisms that pretty much anyone that watches Atletico would have of Simeone, is that he's a little bit too conservative, and I think once he kind of lets the shackles off some of his players, they can express themselves a little bit more freely, and I think that's definitely a case for Koke.
Yeah, Saul is a guy that really works for too. When the shackles come off Saul, he instantly becomes just this box-to-box superstar.
Box-to-box, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was great on Wednesday.
Really was, again, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, he's just I wrote this in the ratings. When the shackles come off Saul, you see why he's one of the best young midfielders in Europe. He is that good. And he doesn't get that kind of love all the time. What was your favorite Griezmann goal? Because there are 4 to choose from.
Yeah, I'd say... I actually might go with the first one, I'd say. I really like the way he kind of... Because I was looking back at it, I thought he had a perfect hat-trick and with the left, the right, and the header. And the header. And the header was actually excellent as well. He took that really well. But the first one, the way that he was on his right, and naturally that would have been taken on his right across the goalkeeper. But he kind of... under pressure, he shifted it. He knew that he wanted to go on his left, and he kind of maneuvered his body and slid it under Cuellar. So I definitely go with the first, and then the ball from Koke as well was really brilliant. And I think what takes away from the third and the fourth is that Leganés were beaten at that stage.
Yeah,
and I think they'd given up, but I think it was that little bit easier. But that first goal was really, really important, because Leganés have been excellent as well this year. And I was like, this is the kind of game now that Atletico drawn nil all or something, you know. But that opening goal really, really just gave them a massive boost, and they went from there.
And it really was against the run of play, because Leganés said Gumbau had just hit the post a few minutes earlier.
It was
Gumbau, and then a few minutes before that, Erasso had the volleyed opportunity that he just slid wide. So Leganés had a couple really good chances, and that was really
that was some
first goal.
That was some strike from Gumbau.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Did you, I actually just put a picture on Twitter as well, in that Oblak saves it. He actually got his hand to it.
Oh, did he really?
Oh yeah. If you look at my, I put a picture on Twitter. You can see him. He touches it up onto the post. That was the save of the season because he was going. He wasn't expecting it at all, and he caught it so cleanly. It was gonna go in off the bottom of the crossbar, and Oblak got. If you just look at it, he got the tips of his gloves to it.
Oh, man,
Absolutely
I watched it
incredible
on
save.
I watched it on replay. I didn't think Oblak had gotten to it. Man,
Yeah, I
he's
just
such a
watched
good
it back
keeper.
this morning. Just, I don't know, I was just watching the goals. And
He's so
yeah. Oh
good.
my God, what a save.
He's so good. But yeah,
Yeah.
that the first goal was so, the second goal I think might have been my favorite, although Cuellar kind of misplayed it really badly. But
Yeah.
I'm partial to a really, really good free kick. So that one's
Yeah, no,
probably
really,
was probably my
really well.
favorite. And I think it was the first direct free kick scored at a stadium called Wanda as well. So a little bit of history behind that goal.
Oh, okay, right. Very nice.
And yeah, this is also the first 4-goal game at a stadium called Wanda. Just so much history being made here. And then the
Yeah.
fourth goal, I think it was a really good chipped cross from Costa, but I think Griezmann might have mishit it a little bit, but it still went in anyway because it was just
Yeah,
that kind of night for him.
I think he did.
Yeah. But it was that kind of, and then he got a yellow card right after, which would have ruled him out for Sunday's game if he hadn't had an earlier card rescinded. I forgot which card it was, but I remember that it was rescinded. So really good news that he did
Yeah,
not
as
pick up
against
a fifth.
Getafe, I think it was.
Yes, that's right. Then he got subbed off. And did you see when Costa came off how angry he was?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
Unreal
but that's
mentality. Unreal.
yeah. No, but that's just him. I mean, he is an absolute phenomenon. He's the strangest, and you know what? I was just saying, he's my favorite awkward. Like, he is so awkward. Did you ever see the way he carries himself? He's an awkward person. His feet kind of go out. They kind of, do you know what I mean? They go
Yeah.
out to their. He walks like awkwardly, and he runs awkwardly, and he shoots the ball awkwardly, but he is absolutely brilliant.
He's
He
a
is my
tank.
favorite footballer. I would just sit and watch Diego Costa all day. He is a treasure. I just love him.
Yeah, and again, I don't think you can talk about Griezmann's recent success. Again, 7 goals in 2 games. He's now fourth in the league scoring charts, which earlier this season, I wouldn't have believed you if you'd said that. But you
Yeah.
can't really talk about Griezmann's form without talking about Costa, and just I kind of underestimated just how much he would bring back to this team. Atleti have their old spirit back. They have
Yeah.
that bite back about them.
Yeah, I actually put a tweet out, and I actually remember specifically sending it out. I said that Griezmann would be back to Ballon d'Or form once Costa comes into this team, because they were fine. Atletico Madrid were absolutely fine. They were missing a striker. They had no number nine. Like Gamero, he's after improving recently, but he was at nothing. Fernando Torres was finished. Atletico Madrid were absolutely perfectly functioning team. They were just missing a number nine, and given the Simeone and Costa's history, and they're very close. Aside from understanding how they like to play, I was like, once Diego Costa comes back into this team is going to light the place on fire. And I remember thinking that, and I was like, if they're just missing a striker, and that's it, like, because I think the midfield is absolutely fine. That defense is fine. Jan Oblak is one of the best goalkeepers in the world, if not the best. Got plenty of talent on the wings and things like that. And I just said, like, if and Griezmann obviously as a number 10 or as a second striker. Or playing on the wing is can be a difference maker. If they just had someone up front that was a presence and a body. And Diego Costa, like, when you look at Simeone's pursuit of him and his desire to bring him back, it makes perfect sense, because Simeone could see that. He was saying, I know exactly what this guy brings. I know I can motivate him. I know how to play him. And I mean, what a signing that has turned out to be. People were even concerned about whether or not Costa would get back to form, if he was going to be fit enough. It's like he never missed a eat. Like, I mean, you look at the likes of Alex Vidal and Arda Turan, who had to sit out for 6 months when they returned from their bans with Barcelona. They never, okay, Alex Vidal has come back into contention a little bit now, but never been the player that he was when he signed with Barcelona. Yeah. And Arda Turan, obviously, we know how that turned out. And Costa did the same, 6 months out in a World Cup year, and he is going to be Spain's starting striker at the World Cup. Like, and I just think he's an absolute phenomenon, and just what he's after doing and how he's after turning Atletico Madrid season around.
An incredible character to come back after 6 months, missing half the season. He's come back in 7 league games, 3 goals, 2 assists. Like, it's like he's never left.
Yeah,
it's remarkable.
And he gives Atletico that edge, and I think that, like, I was just like, I think that helps Atletico, because they have no identity without Costa. Now they have this kind of bite, and you know, and Simeone can only do so much from the sideline, but like with Costa there, he turns the game into a battle, and not that Atletico are that attritional anymore, and they're not that kind of team that wears you down and fouls and sits deep and things like that, but it just gives them a personality and an edge that they did not have against when Costa wasn't there. And it'll be interesting to see how Simeone plays and whether he remains progressive in his approach against Barcelona. I'd like to see him, yeah, okay, you can't be naive obviously, but I'd like to see him maybe remain a little bit progressive in his approach and see what Barcelona can take, I suppose, given how tired they look tonight and how, like, Las Palmas was probably the worst team that Barcelona could have played tonight, because it was, they were made work very, very hard for everything that they got, and, you know, and okay, some very, very cynical dirty fouls, but they were fouled, and they were tackled, and there was bodies on the line and things like that. And I think Barcelona looked tired tonight, and Atletico have an extra day to recover. And I don't know. I think if Atletico take the game to Barcelona, I don't know how much they're going to be able to take, especially given Atletico's confidence and their form and their structure with Costa in the side.
And Atletico are the form team in La Liga now with 6 straight wins, and they do have the extra day. Griezmann came off on 73 minutes. Costa came off on 73 minutes. But tonight, Messi and Suarez both played 90 minutes. No Jordi Alba, so he'll be fresh. But you do get the sense that maybe the tides are turning a little bit here. There is league. I Liga.
Yeah, definitely.
We have league.
I don't think Atletico Madrid have ever had a better chance to beat Barcelona. Like, before any time that they did beat them, it would have been backs to the wall kind of stuff. And I think Simeone's record against Ernesto Valverde is better. I think Valverde's slow. They're unbeaten in La Liga and the Champions League, and just that one loss against Espanyol in the Copa. But I think Valverde's, I don't know, I think they're starting to show signs of strain and a little bit more pressure being put on them. And they know that Atletico are the informed team. And I think that Valverde's approach and the way that he sets his team up will suit Atletico in that. If Atletico can take the game to them, I definitely think Atletico, everything is lined up for Atletico to win that game.
I mean, we kind of saw it the first time they played at a stadium called Wanda in October. In Valverde's approach kind of played right into how Simeone wanted it, and for a good 80 minutes, it looked like Atletico were going to win that game before Suarez equalized. Do you think, will we see something similar at Camp Nou, I guess, is how I'll ask that. Will we see something similar?
Yeah, like, it depends on whether Simeone... See, the thing about it is that, like... Yeah, it depends on how Simeone views the fixtures, and whether he wants to go to the Camp Nou and not lose the league, because he cannot lose... If they lose to Barcelona, it's pretty much done.
Right.
But if they cannot lose, I think it's still there for the taking, because there's a Clásico coming up, and But Barcelona obviously have the Champions League to play and things like that, and got a kind of a congested schedule. So it depends on whether Simeone wants to go and win the league, which would be my approach, because, well, that's just the way that I would see it. But also because Atletico have nothing to lose. I would say, like, a draw is fine and everything, but then you're leaving it out of your hands. Whereas if you go and you take the game to Barcelona, you're in a position that you didn't really think you were going to be in. Like, given the fact that Atletico couldn't sign anyone for 6 months, nobody gave Atletico Madrid a hope of contesting for La Liga. So A, Atletico were in a position that they didn't think that they were going to be in,
right.
And B, they're in the ascendancy, and I think that Barcelona are slightly scared at the moment, and they're very, very tired, and I would be going definitely to win as opposed to not lose.
I agree. If there was a time to catch Barca, this is it. I mean, Barca have drawn, I think, 4 of their last 7 in all competitions, and that includes the Chelsea game in the Champions League. Mm. They do look a bit out of sorts right now, and they're missing. I think another problem is they're missing depth. They need Coutinho to adapt quicker than he has. I mean, I don't know what they're going to get out of Ousmane Dembele for the rest of this season. I think it's just going to be a lost season for him. They need other options that they don't really have right now. Paulinho's form is kind of it's dipped a bit. They need Valverde needs more options that he doesn't really have right now. And Atletico, for the small squad that they have right now, they seem rather energetic and rather motivated.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think their reliance on Suarez and Messi, and I think Suarez playing tonight was.
I would arrest him.
He played 90 minutes.
I would arrest him.
Yeah, I think because there was no point in sending him out when he was on a yellow, because he wasn't himself. It's like sending Costa out and telling him not to get booked, like, or not to get involved.
Right.
You're taking the very essence of his game away from him. So, I think Atletico are, everything's falling in line for them at the moment to go and win that game. But at the same time, we're saying that sitting here on a podcast, whereas Simeone would absolutely never forgive himself if he went and got brave, and next minute Barcelona caught them on the break 3 times and they lost 3-0, lost the league, and all because Simeone got notions about himself and his side and changed his way. And, you know, I think Simeone is too wedded to his style, and his that's just not his personality. He doesn't mind getting beaten, but he's not going to get beaten with his pants down. You know what I mean?
Like,
he's going to make sure that the house is safe first before they go on. But it'll be a really interesting game, tactical battle, and it's going to be really, really interesting. And Atletico's approach is going to be interesting, because their midfield as well is a little bit light. Atletico's midfield is a little bit light. Obviously, you can't play Partey. Partey won't work there, picking up Messi when he drops between the lines and things like that. So Gabby will come back in, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And then, which takes away a lot of Atletico's kind of more directness and things like that. So, it's massive questions to be asked about his team selection, and we'll know pretty much off the bat, for the most part, once we see how Simeone decides to line up. And I guess the reporters at Atletico will have a team for us tomorrow, and we'll be able to kind of decipher a little bit more then.
Yeah, I'd imagine Friday night or Saturday morning we'll find out what Simeone's plan is, the team he's going with the training. So you don't think Tomas comes in at all, or he doesn't start at least?
I don't think Simeone will start him. No, I don't think he will. No.
So, yeah, then Koke, Saul, Gabby, and then Correa on the other wing, kind of a hybrid 4-3-3.
I think Correa was busy enough on Wednesday night and got through enough work, and he had actually a couple of nice moves. He needs to be watched. Like, so when you've Costa and Griezmann in such good form and linking up together, Correa also needs attention. So the three of them. But he could play it in a 4-4-2, obviously Correa dropping back, and then Costa, right, and Griezmann up front,
right.
And then with Saul, Koke, and Gabby. But I don't think that. I mean, I think it would be really naive to play Thomas Partey there and go toe to toe with Barcelona, and because Partey isn't a defensively minded midfielder enough back there to stop Messi.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, and it's now an even bigger game.
Unless he drops Correa and plays Partey and has Koke kind of shuttling as a literally four midfielders.
Yeah, that's kind of the only way I see Tomas getting in is if Cholo decides to batten down the hatches and go with the cuatro pivote, which I could see it. He's done it. He did it at Sevilla and Atletico won 5-2. So
maybe that's very, very possible as well. But yeah, it's gonna be a very, very exciting weekend. And I know you're saying you're kind of sad that the season's almost over. Well, not almost, but we're kind of drawn to a close. But these are the games and the weekends we live for.
Yes, sir. I don't know about a scoreline prediction for this one. I don't even know yet. Do you have one?
I'll go 2-1 Atletico.
All right. Ballsy, I like it. I'll have mine in the how to watch on Saturday. I'll reveal mine on Saturday because I just don't know yet.
Big reveal.
yeah, big reveal. So that's coming up on Sunday. And if Atletico win, they will not only have the head-to-head over Barcelona, but they will be within 2 points and provisionally 13 clear. 13 clear of Real Madrid. Well, actually, no, Madrid play Saturday night, so they'll be 10 clear if they win and Real Madrid beat Getafe. Yeah. Still, being 10 points clear of Madrid is a big enough accomplishment as it is.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's still huge.
And if you were to ask Simeone, he says we're fighting for third. That's what we're doing. Yeah. So.
Still fighting for third.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's coming up Sunday. There's been a lot of other off-the-pitch stuff that we have to kind of sort through. Atletico, as we mentioned, have a very thin squad now, and that's because Atletico sold 3 players outside the European transfer window. And, this was interesting. Carrasco and Gaetan are both gone. They've gone to China. Dalian Yifeng, which, no coincidence, they're owned by the Wanda Group. And then Moya has gone to Real Sociedad. They had a squad space open thanks to Inigo Martinez's transfer to Athletic. They needed a goalkeeper due to Rulli's injury/terrible form. So they picked up Moya. Robbie, what did you make of the departures?
It's kind of interesting. Everyone was talking about Carrasco, but he's these guys who move tend to be, there's a certain, and I don't know what it is, and I'd be able to pick a player like who would be attracted to China or would be attractive to Chinese teams, and Carrasco just screams as someone who would, and maybe slightly too young to have gone at this stage, but at 24, he just seemed like he didn't have a place at Atletico, and he seemed like he was struggling, and he seemed like a very moody kind of character, I think, and I think that I think he needed a change of scenery. China at 24 is very, very strange for a Belgian international looking to get into the World Cup, but obviously he felt like he wasn't wanted at Atletico, but at the same time he could have left in January. It's a really, really strange one, to be fair. He needs to get back to Europe if he wants to go to the World. Well, he's obviously not going to move to Europe now, but I don't know if he's going to go to the World Cup now or anything. I think it's a really strange one, but I think Atletico gave up on him, and I think he was willing to accept that, and I think he knew that.
Yeah, there have been the reports, the rumors that, you know, some of which you've covered it as, that Carrasco has had an attitude problem for a while now. He'd had some dressing room bust-ups, some training bust-ups, and I think the last straw might have been when Atleti were in Azerbaijan for the first Karabaj game, when he walked off really slowly when he was substituted, and Atletico needed to get, I think it was Correa on in the final 20 minutes, and Carrasco just was kind of crawling toward the bench, not literally crawling, but he was walking real slow, and that might have just been the last straw. Is that Carrasco, as talented as he is, he was an enigma in every sense of the word.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, and he was liable to, because there was a while there he was absolutely brilliant, but I think that, yeah, like very, very moody, and also the fact that he, I think I'd say his nose was put out of joint a little bit, given the fact that there was such fanfare over Costa and Vitolo, and Carrasco was sitting there going, well, he's not the same characteristics as Vitolo, slightly less technical, more about speed, but similar kind of positions on the field that they take up, and he was sitting there going, you're all like, it was almost like Atletico waiting for Vitolo and Costa to arrive, and not forgot about the players that they had, but forgot about some of the players that they had. And I'd say Carrasco was like, yeah, knew where the road led for him, and I think that he was gearing up for the, he was kind of protecting himself from the hurt, I suppose, and he knew what way it was going for him at Atletico, and at the jumped at the chance to, maybe not jumped at the chance to move to China, but moved to China, and yeah, that's the rest is history. But Atletico will be delighted with getting that kind of money for him. They have to pay 25% to Monaco. Maybe not delighted with that amount of money, but they did need money given the fact that they got dropped. They dropped out of the Champions League and that. So I think Atletico were happy with all the departures and sales and getting some of those players off the wage bill and cleared up some space in that respect too.
Yeah, and some of that some of the space on the wage bill went to Tomas, who got his renewal earlier Thursday with an 80 million euro release clause, which is, that's awesome news for him. He's been great this year. But Atletico's finances, yeah, it's as much as we've talked about, Atletico are growing. They have this new stadium. You know, they've been to two Champions League finals in 4 years, well, 5 years now, because they won't be in it this year. But the finances are still, they still have so much debt that they had to make three sales in the middle of the season outside the transfer window when they're challenging in two competitions. That's still where they're at.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it was Dermot Corrigan wrote a piece for The Independent, and it was all about the loan they took out from Carlos Slim.
Yeah, last year.
And I think that they're still trying to figure out how to repay that, and pretty much in keeping with how Atletico run the club, kind of borrowing from Peter to pay Paul and stuff like that. A little bit, and I think that that probably will continue in the future, but it could come crumbling down if a few things fall out of place, or say for example if Atletico were to miss out in the Champions League, something like that, lose Simeone, lose a couple of players. But I think that they needed to get a couple of players out the books, and I don't think, okay, barring an injury crisis, I think Atletico will be okay for the rest of the season, given the fact that they have some players in the B team that they could bring up and things like that. But it's not ideal, but I don't think the players that they lost will hurt that much.
Yeah, exactly. I think they'll be okay for a couple reasons, assuming that they're healthy and fit. Number one, they have guys in the B team like Sergio Gonzalez, Antonio Montoro, a young central defender, has been on the bench the last few games. He'll probably get a chance at some point later in the season. Katie Barre is a name that has featured in preseasons past, so there are options in the B team, and Roberto Olave as well. Number two, because Simeone rotated quite a bit earlier this season, I think the team is fresher than ordinarily would be, because we had those games where Gaetan and Vieto would play and all that. Because Simeone rotated so much, I think the team might be fresher at this point than they've been in past seasons, and that's huge.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. It was almost like they'd sleptwalk through that first half of the season as well.
Right.
I said at the start that it was like two different seasons. It almost was like Atletico were sleepwalking through the first half of the season. Like, there were some days I would have gone to the Wanda a couple of times, and it was dreadful. Like, some of the football was really, really drab and boring, and now you look at them and, okay, it's obviously not going to continue like this, but they've been absolutely setting the world on fire. Like, they've been brilliant. So and I think that, I suppose when you're winning and when the confidence is up, you can run that extra little bit, and you do seem fresher, and the atmosphere is good around the place, and it's definitely looking very fresh coming into the latter part of the season.
Yeah, and obviously the big test on Sunday against Barcelona, as we mentioned. Just the key is just don't get hurt. Just Oblak, stay healthy. Like Griezmann, Costa, stay healthy. That's kind of what the issue is. And remember, Costa's last two games at Camp Nou, I was going to mention this earlier, but his last two games at Camp Nou, he left early because he was injured.
Yeah.
The first leg of the Champions League quarterfinal and then the finale that they won La Liga.
I was actually watching him against Leganés, and he chased down a ball in the far corner, and I was like, oh, don't, like, you know, and like one of those ones, a real hamstring strainer, and I was like, oh, imagine, like, he hurt himself now in the biggest game, because I just have memories of that, the whole horse placenta thing back in 2014, and, you know, and that was an absolute nightmare for him, and he went through an awful difficult time there, but he seems to be healthy now, and Simeone kind of keeping an eye on his minutes a little bit more, and I think I wrote an article about, there was a piece in A La Contra, and it's a Spanish publication about Costa's his natural fitness, and the reason why he used to suffer so many hamstring injuries was because he didn't need to he didn't take his warm up seriously, and he didn't really need to take it that seriously because you're just naturally really, really fit and just naturally really nimble. And there was one, just his natural fitness was he ducked his head in the jacuzzi. Did you see that one? No.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and he ducked his head in the jacuzzi, and they were all his teammates were like waiting for him to emerge back to the surface, and he was waiting for ages and ages, and they were like getting worried about him. And then he just emerged eventually after some ridiculous time, and just cool as a cucumber, just really. And he just naturally fit, but he didn't look after himself, and that's why he got those hamstring injuries. But I think now he realizes that he's not immortal, and he realizes that he has to kind of look after himself a little bit more.
Or Profe Ortega has made him realize that. Either way.
Yeah, maybe that's the case.
Either way. Before we sign off, we have a couple questions from Colchonero Chat Amigos on Patreon. Trace Gatos has a couple questions. Enrique Cerezo, Atleti's president, was popping off earlier in the week about an Oblak extension, but the next day, a couple outlets in Spain refuted his statement. Is an extension close? Are they even currently in talks for a new extension? I feel like Atleti would have announced a new extension for him like they did with Tomas. To my knowledge, there's nothing going on with an Oblak extension other than what Cerezo said, probably jokingly, on Tuesday night. What do you think? What do you know?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything in a long time. There was talk about PSG, and obviously they'll try and get it there to up his release clause, because I mean he's the best goalkeeper in the world, and any amount of teams would want him. But I haven't heard anything in a long time. Maybe it's a case where negotiations are moving along and Cerezo felt confident enough to give that away, and just to kind of maybe also pressurize Oblak into signing it, because it's like, I don't know, a psychological thing. Once the president has said it, it's like, oh, okay, well, I kind of should, let's speed things up here a little bit. Like a little bit like Bartomeu saying he had Messi's contract was signed, all they were missing was the photo and things like that.
Right.
Maybe it is moving along nicely, and Cerezo felt confident enough to reveal that, and maybe ended up kind of exaggerating it slightly for the microphones. But I don't know. But obviously it's a massively important thing on Atletico's agenda, but also the fact that if Atletico continue to win and if Simeone, because the problem I'd say with Oblak was like, okay, well, I'm not going to renew if Simeone jumps ship and then Griezmann goes, and then we're left with the bare bones of a squad and it's not the same, and a new manager comes in, and he's probably saying, leaving his options open, seeing what's out there, seeing what kind of a salary he might be able to get. And but once Atletico are winning and once those pieces start to fall into place, and okay, Griezmann, we're probably going in the summer, but it's interesting to see if Atletico can manage to put a couple of pieces of the puzzle in place, then maybe Oblak would be more willing to commit himself to the project once that's done.
Yeah, that I think that's just a renewal that has to get done for Oblak, because he is the best goalkeeper on the continent, and he is, as Atleti's defense has honestly, it slipped a little bit this season. But he's elevated his game so much that this is why they've only conceded 11 goals in 26 weeks. Tres Gatos also wants to know how you feel about Rayo's chances in Segunda. They've been in good form of late and looks like they might have a chance at promotion. Robbie, take it away.
It kind of seems to be the case that no team wants to win it, because I know that Huesca have kind of dropped off. Huesca looked absolutely unstoppable for a long time, up until maybe 2 weeks ago, where they lost against Real Valladolid, and then they lost to Rayo in Vallecas on last weekend, and Rayo played them off the park. But Rayo played really, really lovely football and really interesting to watch them. They've said from the very get-go that all they wanted was promotion. That's it. That's their objective, and that's it. And there was no kind of hidden messages or we'll see how it goes. This was the objective for this team, and they've built a squad that can do that. They're second now, 5 points behind Huesca. They're playing Valladolid at the weekend away. They're in the best moment of their season for them. I think they're unbeaten in six. And I think that... it depends on how far Huesca drop, but Atletico can consolidate that second place spot, and with all the other teams kind of like Granada are up there, Real Oviedo are up there, Cadiz were up there and they dropped off all of a sudden. So if Atletico can just keep on picking up points and winning, obviously keep winning and you'll get promoted, but if they can just manage to keep on plugging away and picking up points, they can consolidate that second place, and who knows, maybe they might be able to win the league. But their objective is promotion, and their confidence, just like Atletico actually, their confidence is sky high at the moment, and they're looking to take down Huesca, I'd say.
I would love to see Rayo back in La Liga. It's been a couple of years, and great to hear that they're doing well. Obviously you wrote a book on them. I'd like to think it's the book that's responsible for their uptick in form.
Absolutely, yeah. I was actually gonna go down to the training ground and give it to a couple of players, and I was at the Atletico Madrid Las Palmas game, and I was gonna give a copy to Paco Gemes, but I had it in my bag and everything, and he kind of came down to the side after, and a couple of journalists kind of went around him, and I didn't even know what I was gonna say. I was gonna say it to the Las Palmas media guy, and then I was like, oh, listen, just leave it. Maybe I'll just send a copy to the because a lot of the book is about Paco's time at Rayo, and that's what got me interested. And that's why I just find him one of the most fascinating characters in the game. And I think that I think that he's absolutely fascinating. I think Rayo as a club are absolutely fascinating as well. So. Yeah, man, it'd be great to see them in La Liga playing against the big guys.
Yeah, lovely stuff. All right, we're going to leave it there. Robbie, thank you so much for coming on. It was great to have you on again.
No problem, man. Chat to you soon.
You can follow Robbie on Twitter at RobbieJDunn. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. Follow Into the Calderon as well, at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us and review us on iTunes. And if you want to become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo, head over to patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. You'll get a ton of cool benefits. We'll be back Monday to break down Barcelona Atletico. Until then, adios.